Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's presentation. This is Rem Jackson, and with me today is Dave Ryan, who also works along with me in Top Practices. The topic today is how to stop losing referrals and patient reactivations. Our goal is to demonstrate and show what is probably the number one strategy that we use to really help solve that problem of losing high-quality patient referrals, and to have your patients come back to you again and again instead of trying to take care of things themselves or going to see someone else when they really should be seeing you. So welcome, Dave. It's nice to have you on the line with me today. Thanks for taking the time to do this.
Thank you very much, Rem. I appreciate being here.
Now, folks, I'd like to say welcome, and I'd like to share my favorite quote with you first. It's by Eric Hoffer. If you've ever heard me speak in the past, you've heard this quote, and here's how it goes. In times of change, the learners will inherit the earth, while the knowers remain beautifully prepared for a world that no longer exists. So basically, when I hear that, it makes me want to point out that our minds are like parachutes. They will only work if they're open. So I'd like to ask you to open up your parachute today as we talk about this concept. And the prime strategy we're going to share with you today. And if you catch yourself saying, oh, I've tried that before, or I just, you know, can't see how that'll work for me, or whatever, do yourself a favor and just suspend your disbelief until we're done. At the end, you can make whatever decision you want, but I'd like you to be able to hear everything that we say with an open mind. So with that in mind, let's move forward. I'm going to share a few things before I ask Dave to really talk about the five key elements that will really make you successful in this area. And using this strategy, I'd like to kind of set the scenario first. And I'd like to say that the number one asset you have in your practice, other than yourself and your well-trained staff, is your list. That list is the group of people who know you, like you, and trust you. That's your active patients, your inactive patients, your really inactive patients. That is anyone that's ever requested information from you, any medical or non-medical referral source in your community that you have a relationship with, and frankly, anyone else in your community that you have a relationship with. This is your list, and that list should reside in a good quality database so that we can utilize that list to develop, maintain the relationships that you have with all of those people in your area. This is the source of all future referrals. You know, when you ask people, what's the best kind of marketing or where do you get most of your patients from? Invariably and always the answer is, well, it's word of mouth. And you know, there is nothing that I or any other practice management expert could do, should do, or would do to disavow you of that notion. In fact, that is the truth. The number one source for all of your new business, but for so much, especially those referrals, especially reactivations, come from your list, your database. And never, ever will there be anything that's as powerful as that. And that's why we're focused on that today. And so at Top Practices, we have a practice management methodology that involves the four pillars of marketing, which I created in 2008. Now, here's what they are. The first pillar is web-based marketing. This is the internet and all of the things that you can utilize on the internet to market your practice. This second pillar is what I call shoe leather marketing. Those are the medical and the non-medical referral sources that surround your practice that you will develop relationships with originally and often by actually going to visit you or someone that represents you and wearing out the shoe on the bottom of your shoes. That's why I call it shoe leather marketing. The third marketing pillar is internal marketing. This is your database. This is your list. That's what we're going to focus on today. And the fourth one is external marketing, which are those things you do out in the community to help introduce yourself, meet people who may have issues with their medical problems that you can help them with so that they can enter your list and then we can begin to develop a relationship with them and market to them. I call that your practice marketing funnel. So your funnel is your list. It's the database, and we have to use that database. But before we get into the prime strategy that we use, which we're going to discuss today, I'd like to discuss the value of that list, the value of the database. So the first question is, what is a new patient worth to you? And think about that for a moment, if you would. On the average, how much revenue would you guess, would you estimate, that a new patient brings into your practice in the first year? Just think of a number and settle in on that number. I often hear a very wide range whenever people are asked this question. So do you have your number? You know, and again, I know some people are going to really be a very high dollar value in terms of the revenue they bring to the practice, others very low. But on the average, what would be your estimate? Okay, if you've got that number, great. Now, I often hear anywhere from $450 in that first year to $2,400 in that first year or more. Now, if your number is somewhere in that range, then that's great. Just use your number as we talk about what the value of a patient is worth to you lifetime. If your number, I want to say, though, is outside of that range, especially if it's lower, let's say it's $300 for you or $250, whatever your number is, then as I do this, as we talk this through, just use your numbers. Don't invalidate the point that we're going to be making here because it's such a powerful point. Because your numbers don't line up with mine. Just use your numbers, and it will still show you how this really is a truth about not just your practice, not just medical practices, but businesses in general. Okay, so we're going to go with $450. Now, that means that when a new patient comes into your practice in that first year, we can expect them, on average, to generate $450 of revenue to the practice. Now, what's the lifetime value of that patient? Now, again, difficult to tell because some people do refer, sometimes many times, others don't. But if we looked at this and said, how about this? If that patient, that new patient, returns to your practice just once before they die or you die or retire, then we could expect that they would be worth $450 again, sometime between now and 35 or 40 years from now. So we would then say the lifetime value of that patient is $450 now, $450 later. Forget worrying about, you know, today's dollars and later dollars. Let's just go at all of it in today's dollars. I want this to be, again, just as conservative as I can make it. Lifetime value of that patient would be $900. Let's take it one step further. What if that patient also referred another patient to you who did the same thing, came and came back in the next 40 years. The value then of that patient would be an additional $900. So the lifetime value of a patient that comes to your practice, returns once, and refers only one person in 40 years, we could then calculate as $1,800. That's $900 for the first one, $900 for the second one. So we're going to say that every time you get a new patient in your practice, they will have a lifetime value to your practice of $1,800 on the average. And I think you know from your own experience that probably makes a lot of sense. So let's look at it like this. Let's say this month you get 50 new patients that come in through whatever efforts that we have. 50 new patients that refer just once in a lifetime. The lifetime value of 50 patients to your only 50 patients to your practice is $90,000 in that month. Now, if every single month of this year you get 50 new patients to your practice or 600 new patients this year, if they refer and if they come back, the lifetime value to your practice is $1,080,000 for those 600 patients. That means that is future revenue that you will realize at some point, again, if they come back and if they refer. That's why this concept of your list is so important. And remember, this is at the lowest number of $450. And remember, they need to refer once and they need to return once. Otherwise, all bets are off and they're just worth $450 and the amount of revenue that would produce this year and no more. So see, when you look at this, at the value lifetime to people who know you like you trust you, it's actually hundreds of thousands and actually millions of dollars of potential revenue to your practice that will come to you if you maintain your relationship with your list. So it makes sense to use your list and to market to this funnel. It starts to seem crazy not to. And this, folks, is what separates excellent businesses and practices from those who struggle. That's the key right there. This is the silver bullet. This list of people who know you, like you, and trust you is extremely, extraordinarily valuable to your practice. But remember, These numbers only hold true if they return to the practice and if they refer someone else. If they don't, then the numbers are just going to drop. And so at Top Practices, when you're a member of Top Practices, we are devoted to working diligently every single month on marketing strategies and tactics to help support this list. We'll utilize the internet. We'll utilize shoe leather marketing. We'll utilize internal marketing and external marketing, all designed to pull people into your list, but then also to market to the list. And so once you have that database, you know, there are numerous things that you can do online to work with and develop and nurture your relationship with those patients on the internet. The same thing is true with your medical and non-medical referral sources, and the same thing is true as out in the community. But what we're going to focus on now is internal marketing, or that list of people, that database that you've got. That's our big focus, and we're going to share with you the number one strategy that we have seen, bar none, to maintain and take care of that list so that we get those folks to refer to us and to reactivate and come back and see us whenever the problem exists for them or their family. Now, the only thing I want to say is when I share this idea with you, in the past I've had many people say, well, Rem, that's the number one strategy, really. Okay, well, the 1980s called and they would like their marketing ideas back. Because, folks, the number one strategy that you can use to actually take care of that list is a practice newsletter. And, of course, you want to do that online through email and sending it to folks through email, posting on your website. But you also want to send a print newsletter to people in their mailboxes every single month. See, what's old is now new. And, Dave, I want to bring you in here because, you know, I want to ask you this question. And I know you know the answer, and I just want you to share it with everybody else. What do we think the three most important words in marketing are?
Rem, the three most important words are nurture, nurture, nurture.
Exactly right. Folks, the three most important words in marketing are nurture, nurture, nurture. And Dave, what's that mean?
Well, it means not only communicating regularly, but communicating to build trust, communicating to show that we are humans too.
Exactly. So we're just people just like you. We have a relationship, and we take that relationship seriously. In fact, if you're in our Top Practices list, our database, then we are communicating to you multiple times in the course of a month. We send you our business newsletter, our Top Practices newsletter, every month in paper, and you get it electronically. Plus, we communicate to you in other ways every single month. But you know, the cool thing is, when you think about this, print, you know, print, like what's old is new. Think about your own mailbox. The art of sending something to people in the mail has started to drift away, like many things have. When you open up your mailbox now, it is filled with catalogs and bills. Pretty much that's what you get. Catalogs because they work. Why do you think all of those companies are mailing all of those paper catalogs to people? That's expensive, right? They do it because it works. Now, here's the thing. It's interesting. We have the mailbox almost to ourselves because very little else is coming there. So if you're producing a newsletter and you're sending that to your list on a monthly basis, then it's picked up at the curb. It's brought in, the cup of coffee is made, the person sits down at the counter and will go through all of their information and they will take a look at that newsletter and make a decision right then and there, are we going to read it? That's how it works. And you know what's interesting is boring doesn't work. That may be, if you've tried a newsletter in the past, either electronically or by print, it could be that it didn't work for you because nobody will read a boring newsletter. See, and here's one other point that I'd like to make. We are lucky because we're writing to a female audience overall, and that's really lucky for us. We are marketing in a medical practice, in a podiatry practice, to the woman of the house. You know, women between the ages of, say, 25 and 60 are the primary care caretakers of their family's health. Actually, it's all women after a certain age, but they're the primary caretakers of their family's health. They are making all the decisions for not only them, but their extended family, their parents, and others. And so we want to make sure that when we communicate with her, that we're doing it in a way that she finds engaging. And here's what's not engaging. Bunions, 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 whatever. If you just keep blasting people with nothing but foot news about procedures written in a way that is actually boring, then you're going to get absolutely nothing from your efforts to work with your list. We want them to be actually happy when your information shows up. Ask yourself, you know, why is it you read certain things that are mailed to you? I have a real estate agent locally that sends a newsletter out every month, and I have, you know, and Diane's in charge of the mailbox at our house, and I have told her, and she's happy to you know, not filter that one out. She filters. Believe me, folks, if something is read at our house by me, it's because Diane has decided that I shall be allowed to see this. And I like that newsletter from the real estate agent because it always has interesting things in it. It's really kind of interesting articles and things that I'm interested in, but it also shows you the listings of all the houses that have sold recently in the entire area that I live in, and I don't know why, really, but I find that interesting. Now, the question is, why do you read certain things? Why do you toss other things? So we have to do this. We have to enter the conversation that's already going on in her mind, and we have to be interesting. And if we do that, if she or someone in her family is a patient of yours, either active, inactive, or even really inactive, just because someone came to see you and was healed 5 years ago doesn't mean that they're not in great communication with many people around you that could easily come and see you if she could remember your name or if she could have you sort of top of mind. But when we nurture, as Dave said, nurture, nurture, nurture that relationship. When someone says, oh, I've got a problem with my foot, she's going to say, well, you've got to go see Dr. Wishney. He's great, and here he's right over there on 12 Wheels Way. That's where he is, and I'd call him if I were you. How do you spell that? Wishnie. Okay, great. Instead of saying, oh, yeah, I'm not really sure, or having them go someplace else, we want to help prepare them. And so to do this, and Dave, this is where I really wanted to ask you to sort of kind of take over a little bit. I mean, I'll go over each of these five critical elements that we've developed over time, but there's a reason why marketing works, and there's a reason why it doesn't. It doesn't work if it's boring. It doesn't work if it's just about you. It doesn't work if it's written about things that it's educational, but about things that people aren't that interested in. It's got to have more, and we've established five critical elements that will make all of the difference whenever you're communicating to your patient base, no matter how you do it, but especially through, you know, this top idea of just staying regular, nurturing your relationship. And the first one we call customization. So if you're sending a newsletter out to your list, the first thing we think you should do is you should customize it. So, Dave, what do we actually mean when we talk about that?
That's right, Rem. Customization is definitely important because, as you said, a canned newsletter is going to get canned. It's going to end up in the trash. You have to customize, which means you're going to have to write. And if you don't have time to write, you're going to have to get someone else to write for you. And we do that at Top Practices. We can help you put together that newsletter. We do it every month, which you need to do. But the content has to be unique. Newsletters that relate to your practice or your geographic area. Now, it doesn't have to be long. It could be 100 to 150 words, but it does need to be useful. It's got to be information that's going to be interesting so that your patients or your funnel looks forward to getting that newsletter every month.
Yeah, so, you know, we do write full, complete newsletters each and every month for our Top Practices members that use them. But we also know that only you know your patients the best. And any time that you can use anything at all that is just maybe something you heard a patient ask you, that those little ideas, things that are, you know, unique content, possibly to your practice area or even the geographic area, will always make a big difference. And it doesn't have to be a lot. And it doesn't have to be most of the content, but a little peppering of that is excellent. So now the second critical element of the five, we would describe it, we would call education. So Dave, you know, take it away. Education means what?
Education is critical. And it means exactly what it says, educating our funnel. See, we know a lot of information, and we need to convey it in a way that our readers can digest and understand. So we don't want to use a lot of medical jargon or a lot of big words or go into a lot of depth. It has to be a place. In fact, this is a great place to mention a condition that you would like to see. So, for example, if heel pain is an area where you'd like to see more patients, you can write an article on heel pain. And what happens then is you become a trusted advisor for your readers, and now they trust you. So the next time they have heel pain, they're going to contact you. Not only are they going to contact you, but when their friends have heel pain, they're going to have them contact you as well. So important to establish that you're a trusted authority. It also keeps your newsletter interesting so that your readers are going to look forward to getting that newsletter in their mailbox every month.
Yeah, and I can't tell you the number of doctors who will tell this story, and that is one of their patients who's come to see them for many years for, nail treatments, and just to get their toenails cut, will come in and they'll have had some kind of surgical procedure. And the doctor looks at them and says, you know, interesting, tell me about this. And then the doctor will say, you know, that's something I could have done for you. And they say, really, I didn't know that you did that. Now, you have to ask yourself, how could that possibly be? But it's every single person on this call has had that happen to them in some way. So the fact of the matter is, the kind of marketing that we practice in top practices is called information marketing. It's about educating people. That's why it's such a great way to do this, because it's so high integrity. Instead of just pushing things at people or whatever, we're actually just teaching. And so you have to make sure that you're going to have good content. And we have writers that will write all of that content for you. We're actually expert at that. We make that simple. But it needs to be about conditions or problems that you would rather see. Why not focus on building a pipeline, a reception room that is filled with the kinds of patients that you want, rather than just whoever happens to walk in the door? And so education's very critical. Now, the third of the five critical elements we call personalization. So Dave, what do we mean when we say personalization in a newsletter?
Personalization makes it personal, and we really need to do that. It's another critical element of the newsletter, like Rem said. Here, we're kind of breaking or bending a rule. Nobody cares about what you think or what you know, which is true. But in this case, what we really need to do is be personal. We need to make people feel, know that we're human, that we're approachable, that we're not intimidating. We don't want to be that white expert in a pillar. We want to be right beside them. We want to be their friend. And one way to do that is to put in spotlights about the practice or about the doctor or photographs of some of your people who work for you in your office, your office staff. A great way to do that. Include things about hobbies, interests, pastimes, because that's going to build those connections with the audience, with the funnel that you're trying to reach.
Believe it or not, one of the most popular things you can put in is recipes, and they need to be, you know, favorite recipes from members of the staff, and you can put the staff's pictures there, but, you know, and only put in really good stuff, but you'll be shocked at how many people say, you know, I tried that recipe for whatever in your newsletter, and it was great. I really, you know, that was awesome, and it's fun to do all this kind of stuff. You know, one of our doctors has a regular column every month that is written by, you know, okay, his dog. So the dog has a point of view and has a little column inside this podiatry newsletter, and it is hysterical, and it is the kind of thing that people open up and want to start with first because they know the dog's got something to say. It's just little things like that. If you're going on a great vacation with your kids, go ahead and show it. It's fun to do. You know, and some people have their, you know, their three-year-old has a column in their newsletter. Just interesting, relatable, fun stuff is what we mean about personalization. It makes all the difference on whether or not people are going to open it up every single month and do it. Now, the fourth critical element is actually one of the key marketing strategies that you've got to know if you're at all writing marketing copy. And in fact, for the members of Top Practices, we have a copywriting workshop that explains this. But this number four of the five critical elements has to be in every single, not just newsletter you do, but everything that you do. And Dave, what is it?
It's a response device. And Rem, I call this a call to action because we want to get our funnel to do something. The people who are reading the newsletter, we want them, we need them to take action. This includes, could be an offer, could be a contest, getting their feedback. Maybe we want to get their feedback on some of the articles they'd like to see in upcoming newsletters. Perfect place to do that. But if you run a contest, you can get feedback, you have a prize, why not put that, the prize winner, in the newsletter the next month? It's a great way to build that interaction, and you can include maybe a free offer. Here at Top Practices, we can help you with books that we can create for you and have your input so you can customize it. That book then not only goes on your website and in your office, but also in your newsletter so that people can put in their information, submit their information to get that book or that free offer that you have available so that you can build your funnel and keep in contact with them so they can be a part of your conversion campaign.
And not only is this something that helps you build your list and helps people actually respond to you, because you want them to take an action, but it also is fun. And it's also something that, one of the things that we really work on all the time with our Top Practices members is to integrate this into all the other pillars. So if you're running some kind of a contest in your newsletter, on your social media, we're going to be publishing it in the newsletter, like Dave said, showing the photographs of the winners, of all kinds of different things that are going to work in conjunction with everything else that you're doing. Why? At the end of the day, this isn't because we want to spend a lot of time doing these sorts of things. We want to do this because it builds referrals and it builds reactivations because people stay engaged. This is the definition of nurturing your list. Nurture, nurture, nurture. I'm not just coming at you and promoting or doing something, as I would say, undignified. This is simply letting you know that you're part of a community of people that are connected to this trusted source, this trusted doctor, which is you. Now, the fifth, and I think just as critical element in having a engaging, dynamic newsletter that really does build your referrals and your reactivations is critical element number five. And Dave, what is it?
It's interesting information unrelated to your practice. And you're right, Rem, it is key. And it's also very important, just as the other elements are. You need to add a little bit of fun. And that's going to keep people involved. That's going to keep people wanting to read your newsletter month to month. You can include things like puzzles. You can include recipes. You can include things that are coming up in the practice or in the community. Everyone's always looking for what's happening on the 4th of July as far as where those celebrations are going to be. Where are the fireworks going to be? Well, if you put that in the phone in your newsletter, they'll be able to, they'll keep that, they'll hold on to that, and they can refer back to that when they're looking for those that vital information for those times. So you can include things like that. You need to include things like that, things that are fun. Sometimes it could be little known facts that are going to be interesting, that are going to keep people coming back and holding on to it. Oftentimes it's mentioned that these are the parts of the newsletter that people like the most because it shows that we're actual human beings, and so are our readers. And that will keep them informed, that will keep them reading the newsletter, wanting to read the newsletter, making it a worthwhile activity. So keep them remembering you so that they will refer to you time and time again.
Right on, Dave. And so people, again, you have to remember, she is a human being who is interested in a informative but engaging and, yes, entertaining read. And if you teach her, if you teach your readership that it's a worthwhile activity to open and read your newsletter month after month after month, these people who know you and trust you will remember you and they will refer to you time and time again. They will come back to you when there's a need inside their family. They will be paying attention. It's the definition of nurture, nurture, nurture. And just think of yourself. It's most likely that you are in Top Practices marketing database that we have. At some point, you probably requested something or got involved, or you're just entering it. But pay attention to how we We never break faith with you. We are always communicating with you each and every month on things that are useful, helpful. You don't just get materials from us saying you should, you know, buy our stuff and buy our stuff. Our goal is to develop such a great relationship with you before you're a member that you have your high expectations when you come in and are a member of Top Practices, and we really ramp everything up and really take your marketing to the level that it can go. So that's the keys to us. So once again, the Top Practices Podiatry Patient Newsletter Program is a monthly program that is completely done for you. Because that's the problem, really, with newsletters, is they feel like a lot of work, and they just seem to come again and again and again. I mean, it's amazing how quickly a month goes by. You know, I change out my contact lenses once a month. Seems like I'm always doing it. And it's the same thing here. So when you have the support and their help, and it becomes more of an automated thing, and you're just contributing some content but not a lot, not only can that be actually enjoyable, but it's very effective. And so all the writing, all the design, all the printing, all the mailing, we take care of all of it. And Dave runs that program for our podiatrists. And so, Dave, if somebody was going to connect with you via the phone, what's the phone number and what's your email too, by the way?
That phone number is 717-725-2679. That's a direct line to my desk. You can also reach me at dave@toppractices.com.
Dave spelled just the way it sounds, D-A-V-E, and it's 717-725-2679. And by the way, you can come to toppractices.com and just select the button on the front that says Podiatry Newsletter Program, and you get a lot more information there as well, and also our order form and brochure and all that. But Dave has all the answers, so make sure you connect with Dave on this, which I happen to believe is the silver bullet. See, people always want to know, you know, what's the most important thing that I can do? The most important thing you can do is communicate to your list on a regular basis. Now, you have to do it right. You have to build it right. But this is the single most valuable activity that you can engage in is nurturing that list of people who know you, like you, and trust you. And again, just think back to what we talked about at the beginning of this session, which is the true value of a patient to you over their lifetime and your lifetime, if they refer and if they reactivate and come back to you when they need to or all the members of their family might need to, because those are the only ones they're making decisions about personally. But if we don't stay connected this way, then we're missing out on the number one business development activity that's available to us. So again, that's Dave Ryan, 717-725-2679. Or just dave@toppractices.com. Dave, I want to thank you so much. I really appreciate this. And I want to thank everybody else who's been on the line today. You know, good luck. And, you know, we're dedicated to your success. So if we can help you at all, just come see us at toppractices.com. This is Rem Jackson. Until next time, have a great day.